This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. About 70% of New York City's emissions come from their buildings, which is why New York has been on the forefront of crafting innovative solutions on how to decarbonize this important sector. One of those tools that policymakers have rolled out is something called Local Law 97. It's a building performance standard that requires buildings over 25,000 square feet to decarbonize. 40% by 2030, and fully to net zero by 2050. And after a few years of prepping and organizing for the law to take effect, the first requirements for energy efficiency and greenhouse gas reductions started to apply here in 2024. So I thought it would be a good time to revisit the law, its impact on New York, and get a perspective on how the city's buildings are doing in complying with the mandate. And for that, I turned to Luke Surowiec, who's a director at ICF, and ICF implements the New York City Accelerator on behalf of the Mayor's Office for Climate and Environmental Justice. Luke's the Accelerator's program director, and the Accelerator aims to activate the resources necessary as the city embarks upon this building decarbonization journey. So join us. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or, well, we're recording this on leap day, February 29th, so let's think of these as a bonus 8 minutes that you get this year. Can't think of a better way to spend them than talking about decarbonization, so let's get it on. In large cities, it turns out that it's actually the buildings that contribute the most greenhouse gas emissions. In New York, the built environment represents about 70% of the city's emissions, which means that any meaningful climate action will need to start with buildings. And so New York in 2019 passed what is known as Local Law 97. A building performance standard that requires large buildings to decarbonize. Luke explains a little bit about the impact of the law.
The law affects about 50,000 buildings. So those are all the buildings over 25,000 square feet. And the idea is that we are, every 5 years sort of ratcheting down the allowance that each building has of the amount of emissions they can emit.
While other municipalities have tinkered with reporting requirements on emissions, LL 97 is the first that really put penalties against not decarbonizing. And 2024 is going to be the first year when those requirements start to kick in. Luke gives some perspective.
It's about $268 of metric ton outlay. You are over your limit. And there's also a penalty for not submitting your submission in the first place.
Helping building owners avoid those penalties and meet their decarbonization targets is what Luke, ICF, and the New York City Accelerator are doing. Helping building owners and property managers access the information and resources that they need to be successful.
The Accelerator, the NYC Accelerator, provides resources, training, and one-on-one expert guidance to help building owners and industry professionals improve energy efficiency and reduce carbon emissions from buildings. We have a team of advisors and account managers that will basically be assigned to your building or to your portfolio and specifically walk through, what are your buildings looking like in terms of Local 97? How is your data matching up properly? Is it looking correctly? What kind of obstacles you might be looking at? And most importantly, what kind of opportunities, might you have with specific recommendations around conservation measures or, renewables or solar.
And since the Accelerator launched, it's been an integral part of New York's push towards compliance with LL 97.
It's about 1 billion square feet that we've touched, about, half of that. So about 9,000 buildings we're tracking that have taken some sort of action since 2021.
At least initially, the first phase of compliance for Local Law 97 should be relatively straightforward for buildings to accomplish.
So the way I see this first compliance period is that buildings will be able to comply by just doing what they should have been doing all along, which is improving operations, doing lighting upgrades, HVAC improvements, envelope improvements, just the typical efficiency work, and most of them will be able to get there. By 2030, and definitely by 2035, we expect to see a ton of people start to think about domestic hot water electrification. I think as we go further beyond 2035, we definitely believe we will start to need to make, a lot more progress on heating electrification. Where we start to see more difficulties, and I guess I'll say, thinking about this as a as a hurdle coming in over the next 5-10 years that we are, you know, definitely working on, and many are working on this problem now. I think the biggest hurdle will be for these larger buildings that are operating with steam distribution systems, which, believe it or not, in New York City, in this large building sector that has to comply with Local Law 97, it's about 70% of buildings have steam distribution systems.
As Luke alludes to, Local Law 97's ratchet periods are kind of tied to the maturity level of the technology solutions that are to be implemented. It's relatively straightforward today to install energy efficiency measures, but it's going to get tougher as time goes on to hit some of those decarbonization goals, like with converting steam systems to clean sources. But, well, New York is giving building owners the time to develop their plans and organize their strategy on how to comply. And the technology is evolving to accommodate, including window-based heat pump units, thermal energy networks, geothermal.
And again, there are amazing vendors, amazing technology partners out there that are doing, you know, amazing work. I mean, we're talking, some are putting in geothermal, some are putting, some are converting some steam buildings to water and then doing air-to-water heat pumps. Some are, you know, combining recladding with new distribution systems.
And the conversation is changing around these efforts, as more building owners are seeing these decarbonization projects as an investment rather than just as a cost. Investing behind energy efficiency and distributed resources drives down energy costs. It's an economic as well as a sustainability outcome. New York isn't the only city pursuing these building performance standards. Boston, Cambridge, Washington, D.C., many other metro areas have implemented similar measures. Luke had a few guiding principles to share with these cities as they can learn from New York's experience.
This stuff is not easy, and it gets pretty complicated quickly, which is why, you know, we always think about this like human-to-human approach. Passing the policy is sort of like, in my head, first leg of the stool. I think enforcement is the second leg. The third leg is, you know, this support arm, right? So you have policies, enforcement, and support, and that's like where, you know, where our program comes in. It's all about the support. What is really promising to me is seeing the biggest real estate companies now are aggressively, you know, saying we will be net zero by, some of them by 2030, you know? And so the writing is certainly on the wall. Now it's just a race to how quickly can we get to net zero cost effectively?
And how do we support those companies that are decarbonizing while putting the policies and laws, such as Local Law 97, into place to encourage the others? I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.